Blessings, everybody. This is Dale. Thank you so much for joining with me today on the Word Podcast. We're pressing on in the Psalms, and we're in the 17th Psalm. And in the previous episode, we looked at the first three verses of this. And it's described as a title of a prayer of David. And something's going on here in David's life. This is described as a lament psalm, a personal type of lament psalm. But it's a prayer. He's lifting up to God. Because apparently something has occurred where David has been accused of something, unjustly accused. He didn't do it. And he's asking God, he's petitioning God to come to his defense, to vindicate him. Okay. Now, David's not saying, he's saying that he's innocent in relationship to whatever this accusation is. He's not saying that he is sinless or anything like that. Okay. He's saying that as far as this incident is, there's no wrongdoing. So let's see what we can glean from this. Verse 1 says this, "Hear a just cause, O Lord. Give heed to my cry. Give ear to my prayer, which is not from deceitful lips. Let my judgment come forth from your presence. Let your eyes look with equity. You have tried my heart. You have visited me by night. You have tested me, and you find nothing. I have purposed that my mouth will not transgress." And so we've seen this in the previous episode, what he's saying. He's saying, God, you've examined me about this. You know my heart about this. You've actually visited me by night. That's intriguing. And he had a personal visitation from God. Had God kept him up at night? Had he had a dream, okay, or a vision related to this? We don't know. It just says that you have visited me by night. God had tested him. Yeah, he had tested him, and he had found nothing of evil or sin in relationship to this particular incident. And then David closed out this sentence and said, you know what? I purposed that my mouth will not transgress. He says that he has determined that he's not going to speak forth transgression or actually make this situation worse. So verse 4, we press on. "As for the deeds of men, by the words of your lips, I have kept from the paths of the violent." So he's talking about the deeds of men, and these are deeds which are not good deeds from what we can glean here. These deeds of men, he said, as for these deeds of men, and apparently the deeds that have been done against him, he says, "It's by the words of your lips, Lord, that I have been kept from the paths of the violent." He's saying, God, you're the one that's guided me from this. You're the one that has protected me from this by the words of your lips. Had David heard the very audible voice of God? Well, perhaps, perhaps not. Did he know the word of God? Yes, he knew the word of God in the scripture that he had. No doubt. Did David receive the word of God through the Spirit? Through creation. Oh, yeah. A lot of these psalms arise out of that type of thing, right? But he's telling God, God, I know that you're the one that's kept me. You've kept me off the path of the violent. You've kept me away from that. Verse 5, "My steps have held fast to your paths. My feet have not slipped." So he sets up this juxtaposition. He says, you have protected me. The words of your lips have kept me off the paths of the violent. And my steps have held fast to your paths. I've stayed on your path. My feet have not slipped. Verse 6, "I have called upon you, for you will answer me, O God. Incline your ear to me. Hear my speech." So he doubles and triples down on this petition for God to move within this. He's acknowledged that God is his refuge. He says, I'm innocent. God, you know I'm innocent. Now, will you do this? I'm calling upon you. Will you answer me? Will you turn your ear toward me? Will you hear me? Verse 7, "Wondrously show your loving kindness. O Savior of those who take refuge at your right hand from those who rise up against them." Well, here we go. We're seeing more. He's talking now about those who rise up against him. And he's going to describe them as enemies in just a moment. But he's saying, God, wondrously show your loving kindness. Not just show your loving kindness, but do so wondrously. And do so, and he declares, O Savior. He says, you're the Savior of those who take refuge in you, who take refuge at your right hand. Remember, that right hand is the right hand of power. He's saying, Lord, you're the one who does this. You're the one who protects. You're the one who releases love and kindness. Lord, do that. And do it to protect me from those who rise up against them, who rise up against me. And then he gets very personal with it in verse 8. Keep me as the apple of the eye. Keep me as the apple of the eye. Let me read the rest of the sentence, which is divided up sort of curiously between two verses. Keep me as the apple of the eye. Hide me in the shadow of your wings. That's the end of verse 8. Then verse 9 says, from the wicked who despoil me, my deadly enemies who surround me. So really the versification here, the verse break is right in the middle of a sentence, no comma, anything. The phrase is this, hide me in the shadow of your wings from the wicked who despoil me. But the way it's written is hide me in the shadow of your wings from the wicked who despoil me. You know, so rather awkward right here. But see what the principle is. He's saying this, keep me as the apple of your eye. And the Hebrew literally means the daughter of the eye. And it's speaking of the pupil. Keep me as the apple of the eye. And that whole apple of the eye is a thing that you see a couple times in the scripture as a reference to one who is loved, one who's cared for. Let me see what Zechariah 2 says here. But thus says the Lord of hosts, after glory he has sent me against the nations which plunder you. For he who touches you touches the apple of his, meaning God's, eye. That's interesting. We really are the apple of the Lord's eye. So then David says, hide me in the shadow of your wings. Protect me. Protect me from the wicked who despoil me. Who despoil me. And that's a pretty violent word. It literally means that. The one who deals violently with me, the one who devastates me, the one who seeks to destroy and to despoil me. Lord, protect me from them. And then he says, my deadly enemies who surround me. He's crying out and he's saying, God, will you please protect me? I know you will, but I'm asking you to do this. And then he starts describing these deadly enemies. I'll read one or two of these and our time will be up. Verse 10, he says, they have closed their unfeeling. And then it stops there. English adds another word. They have closed their unfeeling heart. The heart is in italics to where it's a word placed there that's not in the Hebrew, but it's placed there to where we will understand what's being spoken of. Because literally that word unfeeling means fat. So it says they have closed their fat. They're fat? Well, that doesn't mean much to us in the way that we understand the phrase. But this thing of they have closed their unfeeling heart, that does mean something else. They've closed off their heart, and their heart is actually unfeeling, and that's what it means. With their mouth, they speak proudly. Is that not what the wicked do? Is that not what those who consider them to be our enemies do? Speak wickedness with their mouth, speak proudly with their mouth, and close off their unfeeling hearts. This is what David was dealing with, and this is the reason he's crying out to the Lord and saying, God, hey, hear my just cause. Give heed to this. You know I'm innocent. I'm asking that you will vindicate me. Well, again, I'm Dale. Thank you so much for your time, and I'll see you later. Goodbye.